Hello, everyone, and I want to welcome you to New Consciousness, New World. This is your host, Esperanza Ray, and we're having some lovely, lovely weather here in the Northern Virginia area, as opposed to, of course, when Sandy went through and we had some major challenges. So it's a nice change, and we're very fortunate too that we did not suffer the level of damage that some of the more northern states on the East Coast suffered. As a consequence, we are very, very grateful because it's hit New York very, very harshly, and even below New York, New Jersey, and some of those areas. And hopefully, you guys can include in your prayers the people there, because there are still so many people without homes, or who don't have electricity, people that are just trying to make do with what they can. Some will be able to return to their homes. Some may have heavier damage. And this has also been happening in other parts of the world. I know this is true because I watch the international news, which you can also get through the internet, and it has just been very, very, very devastating. So in regards to that, we need to be so thankful. And taking that into account, we're going to be talking today about gratitude and angels, which is a topic that, especially the angels part, I'm going to reference my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, which is on Amazon. Again, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. It is a book that includes revelations that have not been given before. And now, some new people, 10 years after I received my information, or maybe even 11, are coming forth with similar messages. However, the big difference is that they are coming set with a different one specific message, while the book contains multiple messages about a variety of things. So I think that it's an incredible book for all of those people who are interested in knowing what changes we're going to be going through. It is also a good book to read if you're interested in what the new world holds for us, what Earth, which is by the hierarchies of light is called Terra, will be, going through. And the outcome is just incredibly awesome. It touches on topics of extraterrestrials, also very important, the planetary changes. So the book is divided into three different sections, which have to do with first, and this was the order that I was given the images as well as they provided the information. The first is the future. What is the outcome? What an incredible experience that we're going to have once everything else is resolved, once our duality is overcome, once we let go of space-time. So all of that is addressed in there in the first section of the book. The second section of the book addresses more issues on planetary changes. So if that's a topic of a lot of interest to you, I honestly can say that you don't leave I don't leave anything uncovered. A great deal of information was provided on that topic. And keep in mind that this is a summary of four more books to come, because out of each section we're going to do additional books, because we need to provide more and more detail. Now, the third talks about the world changes, and the second section talks about more, the earthquakes, the war, and all of that. So it's covered in two large sec in that's part of the section. And then the fourth section, which addresses more the choices that we make, why we're in this current situation, what we need to do to get out of it. And not only that, but how can we navigate through these immense transformational changes that we are called to do. So those are some of the things that you will find in the book, and I will be providing more detail. My next book is in the process, so the question is the title. I'm trying to figure if I should do a, you know, like the Celestine Prophecy, and have the main part of the book be Hope Brings Beyond 2012, and then a subtitle for it, or should we just consider, you know, giving it a new book, a new title altogether. I wanted to briefly touch on the last two shows that we also had, which were specifically on the 29th of October, we had the topic of exopolitics. And if you do not understand what exopolitics are, that's not a surprise, because I did not know, with the exception maybe 2 months ago, I did not know what the word even means, or even if it existed, to be honest with you. So I said, well, I know politics, I know what that means, but what does exopolitics? So for those of you who did not know what that was, you can just type in onto Google the word exopolitics, and it will come up, and you will be able to see actually our guest, Michael Sala, who wrote several papers on the topic and also on extraterrestrials. And exopolitics has to do with politics in relation to extraterrestrial life, and also the cover-up issues, to try to, you know, get rid of the cover-up and really bring into light all these things that are happening that people are not aware of. So that was on the 29th of October. And on the last Monday, which was the 5th of November, we had a wonderful guest also. Her name was Angelica Wycliffe, and she joined our program to discuss her book, as well as the person the book is about, which his name is Brazo, spelled out Braco, C as in cat, O. And you can find his website on Brazo.net. You can also do a search on Google for his name, and it will pull up a variety of information. Angelica Wycliffe told us, shared with us a great deal about Brazo, and her book is 21 Days with Brazo, which is on the website, along with additional DVDs and information. As you know, we are trying to put a little group of people in the local area of Northern Virginia to go to see Brazo in New York on the 18th. The 17th and 18th of November. That information is also on the website brazo.net. So if you want to listen to the different interviews that were, especially the last two, which are very interesting, you're welcome to go to the archives. Now, there is a slight charge, and part of the purpose of the charge is to support our network, BBS Radio, and to support us as a spiritual organization and community to better and improve the planet. We provide and share with you a lot of information. So in return, we would ask for those of you who can, given the circumstances, your personal circumstances, that you can support us by doing donations or by simply buying the products, or you know, basically registering for the archives. For because once you register for the archives, it's $7 a month. However, you can listen to any of the radio shows on any, you know, given day. So you have archives galore on almost any topic that you could want. So just wanted to share that with you. And part of the reason, it's interesting too, that I talked about Thanksgiving. I didn't even realize that it's coming up. So, and it's around the corner actually. So it's kind of interesting that it just came up in this way. The reason I was thinking of Thanksgiving, as you know, as I mentioned the very beginning, was that we are so grateful that we were not severely damaged by the Hurricane Sandy that just occurred a few days ago. About a week ago or so. And we are very fortunate that we didn't even have interruption in our service. And also at the same time, add the people from the really seriously hit areas, add them to your prayers and visualize their life, you know, cleared and things returning to normal. Send light and love and hold the thought of thanks, for God supporting us. The reason I wanted to touch upon the subject and specifically addressing Sandy, the hurricane, it's very interesting because one of the things that we had a great issue with was the damage that, you know, that wasn't in part, was intended to take place. Now, there are those and who suggest that some of these storms, especially storms like the one that happened in the spring that was extremely intense and was very unexpected, we had very short period of time to actually, you know, prepare for it or even hear about it. On the other hand, with this last hurricane, we had an incredible notification, I guess, of a couple of days, which gave people the opportunity to be able to leave the areas of serious danger and so on. So taking that into account, part of the situation that helped in that specific day, the storm, I remember that I was being told that these storms were not natural. They were not natural. They didn't say that storms were man-made either. The information provided was these storms were not of natural causes. They were more of a provoked nature of, you know, the powers that be testing their ability to utilize this type of machinery that can actually control our atmosphere, that can actually control the type of environment that affects a certain area. Now, you would wonder, why would you want to spend the amount of money and the amount of time to develop something like this? Because it's not cheap. It doesn't cost $5 and you cannot pick it up at Home Depot. So that being said, why? So think for a minute. Why would someone, something, want to have this kind of capability? Well, it's very simple. We basically depend on our climate and our seasons for growth of our products and for survival, and we need to produce our foods, and those are based on season. So let's say if a country has the capability or the power, what could they do with this power? And most important question is, how can they utilize this power to control the world through environment controls? What if you had to protect yourself against the weather? And what if you had no longer any control or any reliance on the natural seasons because a group of beings could literally say, we're going to make thunder, storms, and lightning and hurricanes in a given area, all right? So if they can do that, they can basically control a life on a given area. And more importantly, if they're able to focus the machine on a given country, a given city, they can basically accomplish almost anything. They can destroy the enemy without having to send soldiers in. They wouldn't need real need for wars anymore or any of that kind of support system that we currently need to protect ourselves from invasions or any other kind of terrorist attacks or things like that. Not only that, but basically if a country is willing to play ball with you, then basically you can help them to have very nice warm climate and help them produce the best crops ever, where this country now has the means, the financial tools, resources to, you know, live a fairly comfortable, productive, successful, and comfortable life. On the other hand, if the opposite were true, if there were blizzards of snow, if there were no changing seasons, you basically not grow crops, your resources would be depleted. I mean, even the wood would be after a while depleted. Our oxygen levels would change. Our ability to grow products would also be affected. And even maybe our most basic resource, the need for water, would also, you know, you have the snow, for example, but your resources would be extremely limited. You could basically take a financially independent country and ruin it and turn it into an Iceland desert or even a sand desert if you were to apply the, you know, a different type of, you know, heat to the environment and overheat the air and the land and basically burn the areas. We could turn productive land into desert land. And even though that happens gradually in nature, if we had that kind of control, it could happen overnight. So the ability to adapt, the ability to prepare would totally be eliminated. Well, I have to tell you that we know that changes are coming. It's been told for many, many thousands of years that the end of time would take place. Is it in our lifetime? Some believe yes, some believe no. Based on the information I have, I believe that yes, it is going to happen in our lifetime. That's what I've been told. So my goal, my purpose, the intent is to provide this information to as many people as possible so that they can do whatever is possible for them to do to protect themselves and to take the necessary precautions, the necessary measures to take care of themselves, their loved ones. And by that, I'm not just referring to moving to a place of safety. I'm not referring to necessarily to the shelter and the food. I'm talking on a much deeper level, which really impacts everything else that we manifest in our life. And that is our spirituality, the need for morality, for being ethical, for caring, for being compassionate. Because we live in a time, the energy right now, we are very close to the fifth dimensional consciousness. The fourth dimensional consciousness has already started to manifest our reality more and more easily. You could say that as of the last 3-4 years, the safety mechanisms that were in place to protect us from manifesting so much negativity have been removed. So what we basically think, what we speak, what we do impacts others more so it impacts us. And again, it's so important that we understand this so that we can do something about it. So now, what can we do? Those are some of the consequences. What can we do to address these issues? How can I today take action? Well, the most important and the most powerful tool we have is our mind. And I basically want to say that what we cultivate in our mind is what it's basically produces the level of thoughts, the level of state, the level of emotion that we use on a daily basis to go about our daily lives. If we groom our minds through meditation, through spirituality, through works of light and love. If we are able to do this, we weed out the weeds that grow in our mind, the depressions, the fears, the angers, the limitations, all those things that prevent us from reaching our ultimate potential. They are basically weeded out. If you could imagine your mind as a fertile land in its origin, because we are divine beings made in the image of God, and we have the capability to manifest our reality. And we are just on the verge of discovering this ability, this power. If we can take control of our own mind, okay, mind control, not of others, mind control of yourself, by eliminating all that does not serve us, by eliminating all that does not help us, by eliminating that which is destructive in our lives, then basically we can create a level of thinking, a level of acting, and a level of speaking that brings about the same results. So we need now more than ever to pay attention to what we think, how we think, and why we think. Clean that up. Through meditation, you connect with the self. You go internally, and you begin to connect with your higher levels of consciousness. And the more you do so, it just becomes more and more part of who you are, your everyday life. Second, it connects you with the God consciousness, which allows to ask for support and for help when it's needed. For example, the hurricane that we had here, a couple of weeks ago, was, again, like I said, very devastating. Well, I recall that before, when I was looking at the television, I wanted to find specifically the area that would be considered the devastated areas where the hurricane would come down and create the greatest damage. And so I was able to do that on several different channels on television, and I saw specifically how one of the maps had a huge red semicircle covering the East Coast, you know, with the red being in the East Coast, you know, along Virginia, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, and, you know, New York, Delaware, New Jersey, all those places, moving later on to Canada. A little further inland, it was considered an orange or yellowish area like West Virginia. So some level of damage was expected in those areas. How can we now, with our new level of awareness, how can we help in these given situations? So I'm going to share with you what I did, and these are some of the things that I teach in my workshops and in my webcasts. Hopefully I should be doing one in the beginning of next year, so I will be preparing for that. But I'll share this with you now because it can be something that you can use during the rest of the year. So basically, I went into meditative state and I visualized the pillar of light. If you remember the sacred name of God, that is marvelous, wonderful, great. If you do not, the intent does really, really count, believe it or not. So basically, I visualized the area I had seen, and I had a mental image of approximately the states that would be impacted. So I visualized that redness, and I visualized it as if it had a shield, you know, an energy shield, much like those you see on television, like covering a big city or a metro area. And I visualized it all along the red and orange area. And as the hurricane was coming towards the land, basically hitting the different coastal areas, I visualized peace And as it touched the shield, it just became peaceful and gradually unraveled. You know, just like it was, it creates like a swirl. And as it hit the shield, the swirl just kind of straightened out, and the winds and the tunneling just became gentler and gentle. So the weather was calming, and that's what I visualized. So that's one way. And of course, you can accomplish a lot of this, but all first you have to do a little of house cleaning as well. In emergency, though, the energy is so intense because of the circumstances, and it becomes very powerful. So you can produce results that normally might be more difficult or more challenging for you. When there's a strong need, the emotion is so, so powerful. And it is through emotion that we give the most energy to the things we want to manifest in our lives. So while it's not popular to show emotion in workplace, in this case, it is extremely powerful to show emotion when you're trying to visualize and manifest a result of this type of protection and peace and healing. Now, I had done this before, so I know that this works. And I figured, well, it doesn't hurt to add as many sources, because this was supposed to be an extremely serious storm. And I'm not referring just up north. I'm referring through the whole East Coast. And it missed part of our coast. And I believe strongly, and I'm not the only person, I'm sure, who was doing this, because there are many gifted spiritual people out there. However, because of the energy that was put out there to protect and heal and serve these areas, I also called upon, I asked God for his intersection with the guardian angels. And I use a Jewish prayer. No, I'm not Jewish, but I do have one of the languages, the sacred names of God are in Hebrew, which is one of the sacred languages of light. And basically, this prayer was a prayer that I was shared, and someone shared it with me. And basically, I found it extremely beneficial and very powerful, especially when you're working with all kinds of negative energies and very strong, extremely abnormal, strong energies like the storm, like entities and like demons or anything like that. So I basically asked for the four angels, Uriel, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, which in the Jewish prayer, one goes before you, two at the side, and one is behind you, so they create a protection. So basically, I called them and to come, and I asked God for his intercession and sending his beautiful angels to protect specifically, of course, my house. but it was intended for the whole area, because you don't need to have them spread out. You can, but you can have like a focal point, and the focal point spreads out also. So it doesn't have to, you don't have to put one angel in the North Pole, the other one in the South, and the other one in the East and the West, although that could be an interesting experience or experiment even. I just basically asked them to surround my home. And I visualized them surrounding different areas that I thought could be in danger. And it was really interesting, because Spirit guided me to step outside. And now the storm is already starting. There was a bit of rain, and the wind was getting pretty intense at this point. You could hear the trees really singing their music of beautiful sounds when the wind comes. Although in these cases, sometimes it can actually seem a little bit scary. And I stepped outside, and I did barefoot. I did so barefoot, and I stood on the grass and the ground, because it is in connection with the actual nature, Mother Nature, the actual ground, that the energy flows and it's a interactive exchange and experience. So I just visualized the pillar and I visualized the angels, and I stepped outside and I just started using the sacred name of God, Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabaoth, Ein Sof, Or. And I used it, and I used it for a little while, and I just stood there, and it started to rain a little bit. So, and I have to say the rain was a bit cold against, because I was only wearing a shirt, so a short sleeve shirt. And I have to say, I was beginning a little chilly, but I stood there and I visualized the outcome that was intended, and the angels just swoosh down. And I just love it when they just come down. It's like zoom, and then just before they touch the ground, it's like they slow down, and it's a very powerful experience. I just love watching them descend. At least that's how I see them. You know, other people have other different experiences, but I just love to see them swoosh down and stop just before the ground, and just land. Sometimes they float above the ground. And so through their energy, and I'm sure through other people that are also very gifted spiritually, anybody who's spiritual is gifted. Anybody who connects with God is gifted. So all these people, I visualized all this light and this love and this connection, this pillar of light that just came from the source and the consciousness of God. And then visualize the pillar just expanding throughout the areas that needed protection. And for whatever reason, some of the areas that were intended still received a lot of damage. So you kind of ask the question, well, did they receive damage because it was going to be much worse? Or you know, I can only say that I believed every little bit helped. For whatever reason, it might have been 100 times more devastating, or maybe not. Maybe there was a reason, because above all, when you put a protection out there, when you set out to heal an area, you set the intent. However, you also need to keep in mind that it is God's will that you need to respect first. So let's say, for example, when you're working on healing somebody or protecting somebody, if for whatever reason that person's not healing, it's not the healer's fault, contrary to some people's belief. The healer, the protector, acts as an energy conduit, acts as a tuning fork. And then your ability, or the person who seeks the healing or the protection, your ability to open up, to receive that healing, is really dependent on your level of faith, your level of desire, or one of the most important sacred things is your purpose here on earth. And if that purpose here on earth means that you need to go through trials and tribulations of a given sort, that will need to happen for you to fulfill your ultimate purpose. So this is something that oftentimes, you know, people forget, and even well-intentioned people forget. And you always need to ask for permission to always protect and allow, you know, your intent to be put in forth, the energy to be set in motion, and allow what the bigger picture is intended. But I strongly believe that in our area, we would have been extremely, extremely hit, probably just as bad as New York, if not maybe even harder, had it not been for the help of the hierarchies of light and God himself, of course. So those are a lot of the different ways that we have the ability to help ourselves through our faith. And it is in the meditation. It is in interacting with our spirit self. It is in the ability to connect with the angels themselves, even the extraterrestrials of higher consciousness that are already existing in fifth dimensional consciousness. It is our need to create a relationship, much in the same way that we create a relationship with our friends at home. You know that there are people that you hang out with that make you feel incredible. And then there's people you hang out with that don't make you feel so good. So guess who you're going to want to be around? The people that feel good, the people that make you feel like what you deserve, a good, honest, caring, loving person, a divine being made in the image of God. And you have all the gifts and abilities necessary to accomplish any purpose, because anytime you're given a desire, you have the capability, the resources are provided to make that happen. Whether or not you understand that, whether or not you are able to accept or even acknowledge those resources, that is ultimately up to you. Just like how you interact with your friends is totally up to you. You can decide to get along well with the people around you, with your friends. And that's why people love being with their friends. Not so much sometimes their family, because family will oftentimes tell you things that they see as they are. And we may not like it because they see us more closely sometimes, or most of the time, more closely than our friends. So it's very, very important that we cultivate a nurturing, healthy, fulfilling spiritual connection with our higher self, with the hierarchies of light, and with God Himself. In doing that, we are basically helping to plant a very fertile soil, create a very strong belief system that can support us for the challenging moments that are coming our way. So that's very important, I think. All right. Interesting enough, there's no question in my mind how powerful some of these sacred names of God truly are. And I wanted to share another one with you that actually means Holy Spirit, and that's Shekinah. Shekinah means Holy Spirit. So when you utilize that divine name, you're also calling forth the power of the Spirit to help, protect, and sustain you in whatever you're trying to do. Now, I'm extremely partial to the pillar of light because that was the first level of protection that the angel shared with me. Later on, I got the divine name associated with the pillar of light. The reason I'm specifically very fond of it is because of the level of work that I'm required to do. And it works in almost any given situation since it's intended for healing. Problem solving, well, problems are anything, any situation that comes up. And most important, for the connection with the Godhead. To me, that basically covers all your bases. And it's the most powerful, powerful energy force that exists. Unconditional, infinite, limitless love. God, love of the God consciousness. Absolute, unconditional, and limitless. There is no force on the planet. There's no force anywhere in the universe, anywhere, that can go against this energy. That's how powerful it is. And that to me is just, it just blows my mind. Honestly, it does. So going back to the topic of the experience that we had with the angels, you know, as you learn to connect more and more with spirit, as you begin to feel a certain level of comfort, and this was very interesting. I remember someone saying something that just, it was very touching, because they say, as you connect more and more with the God consciousness, you need to discern in the beginning that who you're talking to or the energy forces that you're interacting with are of the light. And in the beginning, you need to discern that. However, this person was saying in a speech that he was making that once you hear God's voice, once you connect with that God consciousness, then you recognize that voice in the same way that you do with your friends. When a friend calls you up on the telephone, if you interact with this friend all the time, if you know them from going to school or going to work or playing and being at home, whatever, you recognize the voice. As soon as you answer the phone, you know who it is. So this is similar to our connection to spirit. When your family, for example, let's say your mom, walks into a room, whether you're looking or not, you hear the voice and you recognize it. The other day I was with my mother. She used to do childcare. She loves children. All of our family loves children. And I've taught for a number of years. I taught children for a number of years. And she found that job to be very worthy, because you have to really treat children with so much love and compassion and understanding. And there's, unfortunately, not everybody out there is really able to really and truly be loving, caring caretaker for a child and elderly as well. And I remember that she used to take care of these children. I probably changed more diapers than if I had had my own children. So it's kind of interesting. And we were standing there in a public area, and all of a sudden this lady comes up behind us and she says, "Are you?" She said my mom's name. And my mom turned around and I turned around and said, "Yes." "Oh," she says, "I am so-and-so, and I used to take my baby to your childcare. Do you remember?" My mom remembered the name right there. And it was just an incredible experience to have someone recognize you or recognize your voice because of the impact that they have on your life or you had on theirs. That's incredibly beautiful and incredibly powerful. Well, the same is true for our connection with the angels. I love my connection to Jeshua, known as Jesus by most. I love my connection with the Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel. I love my connection with all the beings of light. And my most precious connections are with my beings of light, as well as loving people, supportive, loving people that, you know, like yourselves who are listening to this show, and also wonderful friends that God gives us that we find in our life as we walk every day. And the most important voice to recognize is the voice of God within and without, because God speaks through all things around us, whether it be through the trees. Have you ever watched a tree dance, their leaves, the way they move the branches? It's just beautiful. And there's actually, if you listen enough, you can actually hear the rustling of the leaves. It's beautiful. That is, I consider that the trees connecting with the God consciousness and just dancing in awe and in worship. We need to do the same. And through meditation, through the silencing of our thoughts every day, we need to connect to God through nature, through our inner consciousness, through our inner selves, and recognize the voice of the Creator, because we have forgotten. And being divine beings made in the image of God, that is the most powerful thing, the most powerful energy giving thing that we can possibly accomplish in our lives. to be able to have that connection with God. And you know, I'm impressed by some people out there, because I do hear the voice of God. I do hear the voice of the beams of light. And there are probably many of you out there who have similar experience, maybe even better experiences or greater experiences. And when I read some of the people out there who are, you know, very blessed, some saints, for example, I was impressed by the story of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that has now been, you know, raised up to the status of saint by the Catholic Church. What caught my attention was this. You know, when I sometimes have moments of weakness, I'm talking about myself at this point. When I have moments of weakness, even though I am able to connect with God, I can get down. I can get feeling my energy drained. I can feel upset and down. And yet I know I hear God's voice. And sometimes you have doubts about things, and you hear God's voice guiding you, and you still have doubts at times. But what was so impressive about Mother Teresa, or Saint Teresa of Calcutta, is that she heard the voice of God one time. That one time was for her to leave the convent and to basically on her own start the organization that she has created in helping the homeless, the poor, those out on the streets, to have the last moments of their life being treated as human beings in love and in compassion. That to me was so powerful, that this woman, just from one moment of listening to the words of God, she was so moved that that's all she really needed. And that carried her on for the rest of her life. So I sometimes ask myself, I hear the voice more than once. I got to get my act together and get it more to that level of surrender and compassion and love and dedication and commitment. Because I have surrendered my will to God for the purpose of living according to my highest purpose. And I have to say that it's very hard at times to really allow yourself to give up all control of a situation, of you know, what you think you should do as opposed to what Spirit is calling you to do. And it's not an easy task. I guess that's why the path of enlightenment is not chosen by a lot of people, although we are called to do that at this point and in this crossroad in our lives and in our evolution. We are called to take the next step to the fifth level of consciousness, where we will be in communion with God, with the consciousness of God, with the hierarchies of light, where there'll be no separation, where time and space do not exist, and where life, everyday life, is a miracle. What we consider today to be miracles, like walking on water, you know, levitating, being in one place and all of a sudden being in another place instantly, or being in multiple places at the same time. That may seem silly to some. And, you know, I don't know which is sillier, to have the contamination, the pollution that we have with cars because we have not developed our power, because we have not developed our mental abilities, because we are not using what is within us. The opposite is true. We have learned to shut all these things and shut out the voice of the Creator and the creation that is part of who we are, that is part of our divinity, our divine essence. It is truly us in a perfect state, and we've managed to shut out who we truly are and created all these misconceptions. And look what we've done to the world around us. Look what we do to our brothers and sisters, to our coworkers, to our friends, to even our pets. Look what we do to our homes. And I'm not just referring the four walls, the box. I'm referring to our home, the planet, and even our space. We haven't gotten that far yet, but we're trying to get there. And God knows, only God knows what we could do to that as well. So my challenge to you for this week would be, I would ask you to spend 10 minutes. Well, this is the way I understand the best it works for me. And this is the way I was trained and has given me the greatest results. Meditate 5 minutes, 3 times a day, minimum. Or at least 5 minutes once a day. If it's better, if you do it twice, best if you do it 3 times. Also, 5 minutes is good, 10 minutes is very good, and 15 minutes is excellent. 15 minutes once a day is good, 15 minutes twice a day is very good, and 15 minutes 3 times a day is excellent. The reason is there is a specific power in the level of three in so many ways. I mean, you know, obviously the Trinity has a significance more possibly than we could even understand or imagine. That being said, repeating it 3 times specifically, when we bring it down to the humane logical level, is first time you start out the day right with 5, 10, 15 minutes. In the middle of the day, circumstances, situations, our work, our thoughts can bring us back into a chaotic, stressful, uncomfortable situation. So that helps us to, again, refocus our thoughts and our day and continue and progress so that we manifest what is best and we maintain ourselves in that balance. And the third time is to analyze the events of the day, what was done, what could be done better, and how to improve it. And then, having done that, again, bringing ourselves into perfect balance so that we can get the most restful, meaningful, pleasant, fulfilling sleep possible so that we can rest our bodies, nurture, and heal. And if you can do that, I guarantee you that your days will be so much more flowing with the universe. Not only that, but people who meditate actually look a lot younger and their minds have so much more areas of function than the normal average brain that you will actually be very happily surprised. One way you can read about this is going online and doing searches for effects of meditation on the brain, and you will find an immense amount of information. But the most powerful information is your own self experience. When you see for yourself the impact, the power, and the beauty of meditating for yourself and how that helps you on an everyday basis. Other people's experiences are nice to share. A group of people to interact with is wonderful. Nothing can ever substitute the personal experience. That is what I believe. Because you as a being, a divine being made in the image of God, have been given the most precious gift, free will. And it is within those parameters of free will that you connect with yourself. And what can free you but to know who you are, and what you're capable of? There's nothing more powerful on the planet than empowering yourself through getting to know yourself. Just like a relationship with your best friend. You know, your best friend can move away and you can still keep in touch. Your best friend can, for whatever reason, disappear from your life because you no longer get along. But You cannot get away from yourself ever. So it is to your advantage to have the best connection, the best relationship, the most intimate, powerful, spiritual self-experience within yourself. That's what I would like to call you to do this week. So think about meditating if you don't already do that on a regular basis, and take a month to experience this, but I challenge you to at least a week. And then if you'd like to share your experience, please join us. Join us with, through the blog, and any comments you would like to share with us, I'll be happy to share on the show if you'd like me to, and indicate that if that's the case. If you have any questions, that would be also very welcome, and I can address them individually to you, or I can address them on the show if that is also, okay with you. Again, remember, you are a divine being made in the image of God, and the most powerful gift you possess is free will. The only person who has the capability to take that power away from you, free will, since it's your own gift, you're the only one who can give it up, and you're the only one who can take it back. So this week, go ahead and do that. Through meditation, determine one thing that you could do this week, all week, to bring that power into being, to recognize the power of one I am. All right? Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I look forward to talking to you again next Monday. And may God bless your week, and may you have a beautiful, beautiful, energized, flowing, peaceful experience.